Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful that believers can meet together like this today. We are grateful, Father, that we haven't seen any of our family pass away because of this. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for those who labored so throughout this time. And we pray, Lord, your blessing upon them. And we pray our time here today would be encouraging to each one. You would speak to our hearts as we open up the Word of God and discuss these ancient truths. We thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I know my intention was to do one book of the Bible every Sunday, but, well, that's where we're at. So many things I think I'm going to do never work out because I think God has other plans. Chapter 2 is talking about Hannah's prayer. She prayed in chapter 1 for a son, and God's going to do something. And he starts with a woman. I'm sorry about that, guys, but he does. He starts with a woman who's willing and receptive to his plan for their life. And that was true of Hannah. Probably no better picture of Mary in the New Testament who was willing to bring the Christ child into the world and all the things that went along with that and the separation and the pain because her own soul was going to be pierced. Thank God for women who are willing to do that. And we see that with Hannah. And she prayed, chapter 1, and then chapter 2, we see another prayer, being thankful, beginning at verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and he lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." It's quite a prayer. Prayer. You look at Hannah, how she prayed, how the Lord answered her prayer. Her vision of God because of that kind of prayer life that she had. Shouldn't we want to be like her? When I was 10 years old, my brother was 19 or 20, and the gym had just been built in our town, and my brother loved basketball. So they started a town team. They used to play other towns, like Caribou. Caribou would come up and play with Allegash, and they had their uniforms, bears on it. These old guys like 19 to 26 years old. I was a kid, 10 years old, go there and watch the Bears play, you know what I mean? It was quite a thing. I said, "Oh, I want to play basketball. When I get old, I want to be just like that." Yeah. Things we want to be like. We lived about 600 feet from the school. I'd go there and watch the high school kids playing baseball. So, man, I want to play baseball. I get up in high school, which is 100 years from now, I want to play baseball. But you see that, and that's what you aim for. That's what you want to do. Probably never be very good at it, but still, it sets a goal for you. How about prayer like that? How about looking at somebody and saying, "You know, I want to be like that. I want to pray like that." You see, sometimes people get the misconception of prayer that it's a long, drawn-out thing, and you have to be so eloquent, and you have to be so knowledgeable of Scripture. No, you just have to bring out from your heart. And even if it doesn't really make a lot of sense, God will put it in a way that it makes sense. So Hannah prayed. Just listen. When you read that, like, you should have listened when I was reading that. Somebody's praying. When somebody's praying, just quiet, listen. entering into a holy place. Somebody's praying. Hannah exalts God. You look down through those 10 verses and God's exalted. So little exaltation of God in the world in which we live. And unfortunately, there's so little exaltation of God even in churches. God should be lifted up, not man. God. What God's doing. An old Methodist prayer. And of course, the Methodists have moved quite a ways away from their foundation. But an old Methodist prayer went like this. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with who you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and gladly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. O Lord my God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it, and may this covenant made on earth be confirmed, remembered, and rewarded in heaven. Wow. I'm not there. You there? Quite a thing. It's like anything, Lord. I'm good. It's up to you. I'm at your disposal. First mention of prayer in the Bible. Not a prayer, but a mention of prayer. Genesis 4:26. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enos. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Not before that. Then they started calling on the name of the Lord. Wonder what they said. Well, I mean, we've been around long enough, we probably could come up with some things that they would say. Maybe, God, I need you. Swallow your pride. Say, God, I need you. God, I'm not right. Something wrong with me. God, I need help. God, I need wisdom. God, those around me who will never call on you, who don't want anything to do with you, I want to be a mediator for them. They won't talk to you, but I'll talk to you for them. Because they're in bad shape. They need help. I'm going to stand in the gap for them. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. It says, and Hannah prayed and said, put somebody else in there. And Dale prayed and said, and Lisa prayed and said, and Peter prayed and said, what did they say? What did they pray? What's said in their prayer? It's recorded. This is recorded. Twice it's recorded about her. Our prayers are recorded. It's not in the Bible, but someday we'll... It's like all that stuff we do online. You know what I mean? We think some of that's all gone, but it's not. It's out there somewhere. It might come back to us someday, haunt us. Even more so with God. You said this then, and because of that, this is what happened. This is the chain of events from that prayer. From this prayer came a son, became a prophet in Israel, changed the course of Israel's history. Prayer. There's a result of prayer. This prayer had a result. There's the wrestling prayer. Take something from you, some kind of energy. There's a staying awake in prayer, right? And sometimes that's what really puts you asleep. You start out really well and you're going and going and you're gone. There's the brevity of this prayer. It's just short. Keep it short. There's the commitment of prayer. And it's not preaching. One of my pet peeves, something that gets under my skin, occurs when someone is asked to pray and he begins to preach a sermon. Reverend, would you open in prayer? And off he goes, waxing eloquent, quoting scripture. The food's getting colder and colder and colder. Reverend, couldn't you just say, thank you, Lord, for the food? Amen. That's good. God's okay with that. He's fine. That's good. I'm okay with that. Gary's in bad shape, needs help. Help him. Amen. It's good. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. By the way, I'm in bad shape. You could pray that. We're good. Yeah. Verse 1. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. If you don't know that terminology, you wonder, my horn, what are you talking about? Is she the devil? No. It's a word that's used throughout the scriptures. It means strength. and something strong. Like when Leland's hunting for the buck. You know what he wants? A big rack. Nice antlers. He's hunting for a moose. The big moose. Even the moose knows that. The moose is like, look at my horn. Don't come near me. I'm so strong. Though officially horns are different from a rack or antlers, they basically imply strength. Find that in the book of Daniel. You find that in the scriptures. That's what it means, strength. My strength is exalted in the Lord. Take what you have and just multiply that because it's in God. You have so little strength, but you put that in God, you have such strength. We're strong in Him. Might be weak in ourselves, but we're strong in Him. Fowler wrote back to me with one of the devotionals that this lady had led him to the Lord when he was just a young boy, and she was an invalid. She was an invalid in bed, and he's just a young boy just kicking around town and somehow ends up at that house. And this lady leads him to the Lord, and he becomes a missionary. Next thing you know, he's a missionary pilot in South America. See, she didn't have much strength, but in the Lord she was strong. She says, I smile at my enemies. When's the last time you smiled at one of your enemies? You probably remember more the last time you gritted your teeth at your enemy. She had an enemy. Peninnah was her enemy. She hassled her every day, tormented her. She had children. Hannah had none. She was jealous of her every day. She said, smile at my enemies. It's okay. We're good. Take the enemies away. No, enemies don't go away. Stay there. They stay there. But you can smile at it because you're okay. Because you have God and they don't have God. You have hope. They don't have hope. You have access. They don't have access. They're in bad shape. You're not in bad shape. You can smile at your enemies. She says, because I rejoice in your salvation. I rejoice in your salvation. Salvation. Every time you see that, think of that. Salvation. To be saved. In this world of sin, to be saved. Old Testament, to be saved. New Testament, to be saved. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. It's about salvation. You read the New Testament and you read the problems in all the churches and the clarifications that are being written, the redirection given, because people want to get away from that foundation. It's about salvation. We need a Savior, and God gave us a Savior. We'd like to make it legalism, stick things in there, chaos, to hide that eternal truth. Men need a Savior. God has provided us a Savior through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. She says, because I rejoice in your salvation. I ran across this little poem. I thought it was good. The title was, That's When the Angels Rejoice, written by Larry Bryant. I don't have a clue who he is. Goes like this. When the Model T first hit the street, it didn't bring all heaven to its feet. And when the first computer was born, they didn't blow old Gabriel's horn. There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout. It's when a sinner makes the Lord his choice. That's when the angels rejoice. Now heaven doesn't strike up a band for any old occasion at hand. It's got to be a special thing to make those angels smile and sing. Now when the United States became a nation, there was no angelic celebration. But when one lost sinner comes back home, they jump for joy around the throne. That's the big thing. Big thing. Salvation. Then she said in verse 2, No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Holy means to be set apart for something special. At one time, people could only afford the home they lived in. People could afford a home, but not a garage. It didn't matter. The old Model T stayed out there somewhere in the rain. But then all of a sudden, somebody brought home a car, and it was just too precious not to have a roof over its head. The evolution of things. They built it a little home all by itself. Then they had two, and they had to make a little home a little bit bigger because there were two. Then there was a boat, so they had to put a third bay because you had to get a boat in there. Because they were holy. They were set apart. They were different. God's holy. God's set apart. God's different. God's not like anything else. We have friendships, but nothing like God. We have things, but nothing like God. God should be holy. God should be set apart in our lives. God should make a difference. No one is holy like you, she says, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. It's a term that's used throughout the scriptures to define God, a rock. It stands for stability. Stability. We live in an unstable world. You never know when it's going to start shaking. We have unstable politics. Have you noticed that? Have you been reading the news and stuff? It's very unstable. Middle East is very unstable. Europe is very unstable. Russia's very unstable, has been for a long time. People are unstable. They keep moving. We can't stay up with them sometimes. God's stable. From Genesis to Revelation, God is stable. God's a rock. Stability, strength, permanence. When everything else is gone, God will still be there. Get in tune with this. If you grew up in my hometown, you couldn't wait for night because then you could pick up radio stations. But you had to. Cousin Brucey. Oh, there he is, Cousin Brucey. Give it to us, Cousin Brucey. I got him. But then there's another song. You don't like that. So you got to find another one. Oh, another one. Oh, get back to Cousin Brucey. Tune in to God. There are so many stations. So many things to do. So many places to look. So much to hear. So much to experience. What about God? What about God? Permanence. God's a rock. Verse 2. Verse 3. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge. And by him actions are weighed. I wonder if Peninnah was godless. And Hannah saying, be quiet. You don't know anything about God. That's how I'd put it anyway. Look at that verse. For the Lord is the God of knowledge. By him actions are weighed. By him actions are weighed. We hear this so often. Why did they do that? Why are they doing that? We're weighing their actions. We're saying, I don't understand this. Maybe we'll never understand it. But God understands actions. And sometimes God looks at our actions and others would say, I wouldn't do that if I were you. God would say, yeah, it's all right. I know what you're doing. I know what you're thinking. I know what your heart is. It's okay. It's not about Peninnah weighing my actions. It's about God weighing my actions. Because you remember Hannah prayed and the high priest said, are you drunk? He weighed her actions. He's wrong. Doesn't matter. These important people, it doesn't matter what they think. It matters what God thinks. That's what matters. What does God think? She warns them, talk no more so very proudly. She warns the proud. Like Herod. Remember old Herod? He's God. I tell you, the worms start eating him. I don't know what Herod got, a tapeworm or something. I don't know. What do you got? Dead, gone. I don't want to go by worms. I don't mind them eating me after I'm gone. I just don't want them to eat me while I'm still here. Don't be proud. Old Mussolini. That's before our time, but old Mussolini, you see him up there and he's got mouth going when he's talking. He thinks he's going to be one of the Caesars. He thinks Rome's going to be reestablished and old Mussie's going to be top of things. A few years later, he's hanging upside down with his girlfriend hanging upside down, blood running down, looks awful. Say, Mussolini, you look awful. What happened to the pride? I guess he didn't become Caesar after all. Pride. Comes to an end someday. Happened to Napoleon, happened to Hitler. Happens to a lot of just common everyday people that are just too proud to acknowledge God and could care less. Then comes the end. Verse 4. The bows of the mighty men are broken and those who stumbled are girded with strength. If you looked at Hannah's life, it would be Peninnah didn't amount to anything. And the woman who had no children had children. And one of them was Samuel. How that turned around, huh? They'd say, who saw that coming? God. God does that. When you look down through this whole thing, you're left with this concept that God is so actively involved in the daily activity of people. It's hard for us to fathom. Because the common conception is, God started this and just went away and he's coming back sometime after he's done vacation to see how it's all working. That's not true. God is actively involved. And if we can acknowledge that, it'd make all the difference in the world. And that's in her prayer. Verse 5. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. God's presence makes a difference. Down to verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. I don't know about global warming. I think it's true with Maine. I don't know about that. I'm confused. But I'll do what I can. I'll recycle some stuff and I'll try to burn cleaner and stuff like that. But I don't know about global warming. It's confusing. I don't think our leaders are in charge of the environment. I don't think they're going to make a difference. I think God's in charge of the environment. Really, we should worry about what God's going to do, not what the Chinese are going to do, or the Russians are going to do, or the Republicans are going to do, or the Democrats are going to do. We should worry about what God's going to do, because God does stuff. In the old world, people were going about marrying, being given in marriage, building. Things were going on. Economy was booming. Old world. Until the day Noah entered the ark. One day. Hey, what's that? What's this moisture? This water coming down on us. Strange. Day 2. It's not stopping. That crazy old Noah. I don't know when the Lord is coming. I don't know when. Some people do. They claim they know. They have a date set. The Bible says nobody knows, but they do. It's an amazing thing to me. They write books about it and sell them. You ever wonder about that? It's like gold. Buy gold, buy gold. Why would those people sell their gold for dollars? If they think the dollar is going to become worthless, I think about that. I'm going to give them my dollars, they're going to give me the gold, and the dollars aren't going to be worth anything. I don't understand that. I find that confusing. What about what God's doing? Because, I mean, really, that's the thing that matters, isn't it? We're all so close to the end of this thing. Most of us are close to the end of this thing. At least a lot of you look like you're close to the end of this thing. His adversaries lose, verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. We have a record of that? Yeah, we have all kinds of records of that. We have the old world. We have a record of that in the old world. We have Israel. We have Israel. We have a 4,000-year history with Israel. We look at Israel and say, something wrong here. Something wrong. Had a representative say she'd like to see all the Jews killed. That's not new. Why would people want to have all the Jews killed? Something wrong here. And then they're in there and they're fighting back and forth. You have to feel sorry for both sides. The Israelis and the Palestinians, for the most part, these people just want to live. They just want to raise their families, go to McDonald's once in a while. There's no peace. Why? We have a record of that. We have a record of why Israel's in trouble today. We have a record why Israel's been in trouble for over 3,000 years. We have a record of that. It has to do with God. There's no other explanation than that. It's found in the Bible. It's not found in Time magazine. It's not found in some books being put out. It's found in the Word of God. So we've got the old world. We've got Israel, and then we have the church. Church. When I say church, I'm talking about the whole church, all denominations, all people claim to be Christians. Church. It's in bad shape. It's fallen on hard times. It's a mess. Absolute mess. What's going on? Is God going to let that go? Nope. And then in that chapter, after the prayer and all that, we turn to the wicked sons of Eli, because I'm just coming into this, just trying to bring that from their town to our town. These people in charge of the religion of the nation. Eli's sons, Eli himself, and then his sons. Verse 12, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. They are the religious leaders. They are corrupt, and they do not know the Lord. We read about that all the time. And let's be fair and balanced. We read that about Catholicism, and we read that about Protestantism. It's always somebody coming out, some big guy that's proven to be immoral. That's new. Huh! That's always been that way. Goes back to Hophni and Phinehas. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Verse 25. He's talking to the boys. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. Whoa! When God has a hit out on you, there's no place to hide. Eli, your boys are going to die because God is going to kill them because they're wicked. They should have known better. We always use this. More education. If they had more education, maybe they didn't get their master's degree. They only had a bachelor's degree. Maybe if they had a doctorate, they would know better. Oh no, these boys were highly educated. They were crooked and they were corrupt. They were dishonest. They were cruel. God says, I'm going to kill them. But let's look at Samuel. Verse 26. Same chapter. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor with both the Lord and men. Wow. Eli's boys, not so good. Hannah's boy, growing. He's growing. Legend has it that when the famous frontierman Davy Crockett was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in 1827, if you remember that, a newspaper reporter asked Davy Crockett if he'd ever been lost. Crockett had grown up in the woods in the wilderness of middle and western Tennessee and was often gone out on hunting trips for weeks at a time. Crockett thought about the question for a moment and he said, nope, I've never been lost. I've been a mite bewildered for a week or two, but I've never been lost. Visionary leaders know there are times of confusion, but you just have to keep your head above water because eventually you'll get your bearings again because you know who you belong to. That boy Samuel was growing in stature with God and with men. That's a great thing, to be growing in stature with God and with men. God gave Samuel a message for Eli. I'm not going to go into it, but God gave a message to old Eli that system that he was heading, as far as the priesthood was concerned, and his family was coming to a conclusion, and someone else was going to take over. Yeah. Didn't have to be. It didn't have to be that way. Could have been different. Could have stopped that years ago, but didn't. But on the other side, there's Samuel. He's growing. People are recognizing his leadership, his morality, his motives, what he's doing for the country, what he's doing for his God, spiritual growth, because Hannah prayed. What a difference, huh? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for this chapter in Scripture that has so much meaning and teaches us so much. And we pray it would not just go through, not accomplish some grand purpose for you, but that you would take it and you would bless it. You would break us by it, Father. Make us vessels that are fit for your use. Because our Lord Jesus Christ did so much for us, we should do something for him. We pray in his name. Amen.